Well, the impacts of a changing climate are having an effect on the way the humanitarian sector operates as well. Brianna Piazza works in the Emergency Communications Department for World Vision. She has travelled the world reporting on the widespread and unpredictable ways climate change is affecting communities. And she joins me on the line now to tell me more about her work and what she's seen. Brianna, kia ora.
Hi, how's everything going?
Very well, thank you. Very well indeed. Now, you are a former journalist. Now you work in emergency communications. Can you just explain a bit about what that is?
That's right. So essentially, one thing that a lot of people probably don't really see or understand is that when emergencies strike across the world, and we have dozens of major emergencies, humanitarian emergencies taking place every single year, is that communications plays a major role in ensuring people are aware of what's happening, but also in order to beam images and all of that back to Australians, New Zealanders, for example, so that they know what's going on. So communications is a major role in terms of trying to raise money for humanitarian responses, which is very much needed, especially in this day and age when humanitarian emergencies, especially climate emergencies, are becoming so severe and they are so widespread.
The past year was very busy for you. Tell me about where your work took you in 2019.
That's right. So, I mean, just recently I got back from Angola and Zimbabwe, two of the countries worst affected by drought in southern Africa. So this is a major crisis that's actually quite invisible to the rest of the world. A lot of people don't actually know what's going on there. Just before that, I was in the Ebola zone in the Democratic Republic of the Congo as cases were spiking in Beni and in Goma. And previously, I've visited Indonesia when the tsunami hit just about 2 years ago now. So it's taken me to a lot of different corners of the earth, and I've been very privileged to be able to see, some of the work that World Vision does and other agencies, but also meet people with these incredible stories about how they survive humanitarian emergencies, but also about the impact that climate change is having on families. And you'd be surprised, a lot of these impacts are things that you just wouldn't even think of, that climate change could have this impact.
It's interesting hearing you talk about Zimbabwe and about Ebola. These, of course, are issues that have been front and centre in the media and in the public consciousness in the past. But the lifespan of the issue often exceeds the period of time that these issues are front and centre in the media. It must be a bit of a struggle keeping attention focused on big issues for long periods of time and stopping people from getting compassion fatigue.
Of course, and that's something that, to be honest, we really battle with, and even I personally battle with. So, for example, when you look at the Democratic Republic of the Congo and the Ebola crisis that is actually still ongoing at the moment, we just haven't heard much about it lately. A lot of media spiked around August, which was 1 year since Ebola had broken out in that part of the country. But people were still dying in droves before that, and people are still dying now, particularly children. So children make up about a third of cases. When I was there, I met children who had lost parents. I'd met children who had lost siblings to Ebola, and it is very difficult, even on a personal level, because you tell these stories and you want people to know what's happening, and it does make a positive difference. I mean, you do see funds roll in because I think stories are almost more powerful than statistics sometimes. But the media cycle, I think just with the way the 24-hour news cycle is, things come and go in the news so quickly. And even right now, there's a lot of attention on the Australian bushfires in Australia, for example. So there's not really much space to be talking about what's happening with hidden humanitarian crises around the world. And even Angola, where I just got back from, I've never seen desperation and poverty and suffering like what I've seen in Angola. The situation is truly heartbreaking, and you meet children who have literally been forced out of school. You have girls who are resorting to selling themselves, selling their bodies, because they have no other way to survive the drought and hunger crisis. So at the moment, across all of southern Africa, there are 11 million people who are affected. But UN Food Agency's recently announced that they anticipate the number of hungry across all of southern Africa in the next 6 months will rise to 45 million people. So they're huge numbers, and trying to tell these stories, and it doesn't always get through, or a lot of people don't really know what's happening or the scale of what's happening. That is also quite devastating at the same time.
Yeah, I have a note here saying this shocking fact that the serious drought in Afghanistan has displaced more people than the war on terror. That is quite astonishing.
Yeah, so when you look at countries like Afghanistan, we think, I mean, I guess most people look at Afghanistan and think of it as a war-torn country, and that's its one and only issue that people are grappling with, for example. But when you look at the statistics, so I think it was 275,000 people were displaced by drought alone in Western Afghanistan. And that's about 50,000 more than the number of people who were uprooted by conflict in 2018. So, I know in Australia, for example, I'm not sure about New Zealand, but definitely here in Australia, we are no stranger to drought. I think almost my entire life has been drought most years, but I guess the thing that really hits home for me is that you don't see drought necessarily forcing kids out of school or leaving parents and farmers with absolutely no way to survive, that they're literally dying because of it. So, yeah, the situation's really terrible.
How does World Vision on an organisational level approach issues like climate change?
Yeah, so I think in the humanitarian space, and it's been really interesting to see this trend happening, but, you know, when you think about climate change, who are the people on the ground who see the impacts firsthand? A lot of the time it's farmers, so you can speak to farmers around the world and they'll tell you about how the changing weather patterns, it's becoming more unpredictable, it's impacting when they can plant seeds and their harvest, so not just on a financial level, but when you go to places like Angola, Zimbabwe, etc., farmers, they actually rely on the food they grow to be able to eat it. So if they don't grow food, and if floods or drought wipes out their crops, they can't eat, and they also can't sell anything to earn their income. So it's actually trapping people in poverty. And if we want to reach our targets under the Sustainable Development Goals, we need to see more action on climate change. But definitely in the humanitarian agency space, we actually, and unfortunately, we have to now program for climate change, or we have to take into account that seasons are becoming drier, or that the weather is changing and becoming more unpredictable for people in the countries where we are supporting families and children. So, for example, in Zimbabwe, we are literally trying to teach farmers some techniques that will help them better weather drought, for example. In the Solomon Islands, we're doing lots of programs around helping communities prepare for disasters, because we know disasters are coming, and we know that even across the Pacific Islands, there are communities that are already being relocated due to sea level rise. So definitely, I think that's a tragic fact of the 21st century, is that it's not just about development work and humanitarian aid anymore. Climate change has inevitably had a really terrible impact on the people that we're trying to help. And that impact is largely invisible to the rest of the world, unfortunately.
Is it emotionally exhausting work?
a lot of people ask me that. Yeah, I think definitely, and I can say this on behalf of my colleagues as well, we do this work because we care and we want to be able to help people, but it definitely is frustrating and at least a bit emotional for me at times, because we can clearly see what's happening around the world. And it's not even just about single events. It's about trends. You can ask any of our staff in all different corners of the globe. These are seasoned humanitarians who have been doing this work for 20, 30, 40 years. And even they say that they haven't seen anything like what they're seeing in recent years in terms of weather and disasters displacing people. I guess it really does hit home. And it is emotionally exhausting in the sense that as a communicator, you want to raise awareness about what's happening around the world, but I guess sometimes you wonder if people are listening, or you see the debates taking place in the political space or in the public space, and you don't really know if worth getting out about it, but I guess all you can really do is keep trying.
Does it ever make you cynical of the media, seeing which stories pick up traction and which stories don't?
To be completely honest, I mean, even when I was working as a journalist in the news media, the thing that I always enjoyed most was telling stories about different parts of the world and telling those stories that are kind of forgotten and left off the mainstream media. And definitely there's not a lot of space always for that, especially in the mainstream media. But look, I know that I think journalists generally try their best, and they do, for a good part, do a good job. But I think ultimately it comes down to what viewers and readers are looking at. And if you write a story about southern Angola or the Democratic Republic of the Congo or Iraq, Afghanistan, etc., if no one's clicking on that article, then I guess that doesn't give media organisations any incentive to be able to invest resources in covering these stories. So I guess it doesn't make me cynical, but I just sort of see it as there is an opportunity there. If people want to change the type of news that they get, they actually have the power to do so.
Brianna, whereabouts are you headed in sort of early 2020, and how can people keep an eye on the work that you are putting out there?
So, I mean, things can always change at the last minute.
Of course,
so
yeah.
Most of my trips, I sort of get on a plane with 12 or 24 hours notice. So my bags are already packed. And at this time of the year, we're really in the disaster season, monsoon season for the Asia Pacific region. So typically when we see whether it's cyclones, tsunamis, etc., they tend to happen around this time of year. So I've just been working through the Christmas, New Year break, keeping an eye on what's happening just in case, ready to go if need be. But also, we've got our eye on Iraq at the moment because we're looking at deploying there. I'm looking at deploying there in the next few months, depending on the security situation. If it's safe enough to go, I'll be going. So definitely, people can follow me on my Instagram or Twitter pages, Brianna Piazza, or they can follow more generally the work that World Vision's doing as well.
Great, Brianna. Thanks very much for coming on this morning.
Thanks very much.
That is Brianna Piazza, who works in the Emergency Communications Department for World Vision.